Evening.
How are you doing?
Good. Trust everybody's doing great this afternoon. Good. You got volume?
Yes, sir.
Good. We're going to pray and then we'll get right into our lesson for tonight. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, sending us your son Jesus, so that we can better understand who you are and how we are in you. Thank you for this training center. Thank you for the students. Thank you for their families, those that are here in Darrell, those that are watching by internet. Thank you for the other instructors, Father. May they be anointed and apostolic and graced so that we can equip the students that are here to do out and be to go out and be called and to do what you called them to do. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time we were together, we had one more point to go over before we go to chapter 9. We're in chapter 8, and it says we're talking about pivotal points for accurate connection. And the last one that I didn't get a chance to go over last week, but it's very important that I do so, is that for accurate connection, that they allow leadership to restructure them. Now, this is important. This is important. Those gentlemen that joined themselves to David gave David the right to redirect their resources and their energy. Now, this is important. It's important because when God gives an apostolic leader an agenda to accomplish, God does not only give them the apostolic agenda to accomplish, but he gives them the know-how. And he draws people to them that will help them accomplish that. So God will always connect the right people to the apostolic leadership so that they can accomplish the agenda of God. And once we who are connected to apostolic leadership, once we get there, we must be open to allow them to redirect our energies. We may have one thing in mind, but the leader may have something else in mind, and we have to allow that to happen. If not, then once again, we had our own agenda. Go to 1 Chronicles, the 18th chapter. Verse 14, so David reigned over all Israel and executed judgment and justice among all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Heliu, the recorder, and Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Abimelech, the son of Abithiah, were the priests. And Shavjah was scribe, and Benaiah, the son of Joada, was over the Jeherelites and the Pelatites. And the sons of David were chief about the king. Do you see all of the different offices? David was administering these different people to different offices. Go with me to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. I want you to see this in the first verse. And it said, then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Do you see that? All of Israel came together to David and said, David, we are your bone and flesh. Other words, we are your hand and feet. We're your arms. We are the ones that will help bring to pass the agenda that God has given you. We must have that same attitude and that same mentality towards our apostolic leader. They must understand and know, listen to me, they must understand and know that we are their flesh and bones. If not, it's hard to delegate. Great example. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Great example. All of us in here, we use our arms and our hands to lift up our forks, spoons, knives, whatever, to feed ourselves. It's very uncomfortable to ask somebody else to feed you when you can't feed yourself if you don't trust them. That means you got to ask somebody else's arm, somebody else's hand. You got to trust their cleanliness. Are you seeing this? So in order for our apostolic leaders to trust us in order for them to delegate responsibility to us, we have to become their flesh and bone. Do you understand the illustration? You get that? Sometimes they won't be able to, literally, now this figure of speech, they won't be able to feed themselves. In other words, there's something that they will not be able to do because they're occupied doing something else. And they're going to need somebody to step in. If we do not become their flesh and bone, then it'd be very hard for them to trust us and delegate their authority to us. Are you seeing this? Watch this. Those who choose covenant and accurate connection must yield to the appointed leaders as they structure the church for progressive development as they advance and the advancement of his purpose. Must. Watch what a leader does. They structure the team to meet the current needs and fulfill the purpose of God for their selection. These men and women meet the need, resolve the problem, and put in place a system and a permanent process to prevent this need from ever rising again. So now, let me give you insight on this. Whenever you are given an assignment from an apostolic leader, listen to me very carefully, no matter how significant or how insignificant the assignment may be, you will always need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight. Here's why. When the Holy Spirit gives you insight, whatever need that existed, it should be by the time you finish with it, that need should no longer exist. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has given you insight on how to do this, and not only do it, but put something in place that it will never be needed again. Is this making sense? See, one of the main reasons why the church can never progress forward is because the church as a whole doesn't progress forward in leadership. Everybody remains everybody has in the past had their own agenda. Yes. That nobody ever focused on asking the Holy Spirit, how do we eliminate this need? So every time I'm given an assignment about Apostle Thompson, every time about Apostle Thompson, whenever I'm given an assignment, one of the first thing I do is I sit down and I start asking the Holy Spirit, literally, okay, Holy Spirit, how you want to do this? How are we going to handle this? I need to implement this? What ideas do you have? What, Holy Spirit, give me insight. Because when you do that, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you that will cause the problem to be solved, never to occur again. And then that's when progress can take place. If we gotta keep fixing the same problem over and over and over again, we can't move forward. So whenever the Holy Spirit, whenever you're given an assignment, you're given a directive, you're giving a piece of the responsibility, always ask the Holy Spirit what to do. Do you know what's happening? Now what's happening is when you do that, listen to this, it's a good insight. When you do that, the grace that is on your apostolic leadership now comes on you. Hallelujah. When that grace comes on you, you're now, it's just as if when you go to the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit how to do this, the Holy Spirit not only sees you asking, but the Holy Spirit sees your apostolic leader asking. Even though the apostolic leader never opened their mouth. But the Holy Spirit sees the apostolic leader asking. Not only do the Holy Spirit sees the apostolic leader asking, but the Holy Spirit sees God giving him permission to do it because it's about his agenda. Does that make sense? In Acts the 15th chapter, the apostles put together a structure of leadership to address the need for accurate doctrine. Erroneous doctrines were dismantled when men accurately represented accurately represented, accurately representing the apostolic fathers were sent out to put in order that what was in error. You see that? Making leadership appointments is the function of the senior leader and not within. I need this one highlighted. Highlight this one. Y'all see where it is? We on page. I want you to see this. Page 79. Third paragraph. I need this highlighted. Making leadership appointment is the function of the senior leader and not within the jurisdiction of the people. So we ain't voting about this. Any organization that votes on its leadership is not apostolic. Can somebody please show me in the Word of God where anytime God chose a leader, the people had to approve? Even when the people wanted to choose a king over God's ordained way of doing things, they still had to wait on God to choose the king. So anytime you see a Christian body voting for their leadership, run. Run. Why should we run? Because there is no apostolic order and the people will always dictate. If I got to campaign to get to and a position that God has already ordained for me, if I got to campaign with people and they have to elect me, listen, if they have to elect me, then guess what? I'm going to be the one under their authority, under their control. Because if I don't do what they say do, they can just like they voted me in. Moses stepped into Pharaoh's palace with nobody on his side but God and his brother Aaron. The children of Israel were even complaining to Moses. The very people that he was. Now, what if they'd have voted? They already said, Moses, it was better you left us in slavery. Why you came here? Since you come here, stuff has got worse. So I think we ought to take a vote right now. Do we want Moses to still be here? And they'll still be in slavery till this day. So it cannot be leadership and appointments cannot be decided by the people. The reason why it can't be decided by the people is because the people wasn't graced for the apostolic leadership. Is that making sense? Making leadership appointments is the function of the senior leader and not within the jurisdiction of the people. So to wrap this up, when you join an apostolic leadership, you submit yourself to apostolic leadership, you need to be able to say, okay, I'm here. I want you to put me wherever you need me. When you do that, guess what's going to happen? God is going to place you exactly where you're supposed to be. So it's no longer you trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing, but now you have help point you in the direction of where you're supposed to be going. Is that making sense? Chapter 9. Those who join our lines. Now, you must understand this. This is given a description of coming into covenant and coming under apostolic leadership, under apostolic house. So maybe there's some adjustments that we have to make, some things that we have to do so that we can be totally apostolically aligned with our leaders. Listen, I say this over and over. I've said it before. God does nothing outside of the apostolic. He does nothing outside of his government. Anything that tries to function outside of the government of God is not ordained and will not last. It may start off as if it got momentum, but when it does not have God's grace or empowerment on it, it won't last. It will only be a fad. God has to give us the ability to discern those who come our way, whether they are our partners in destiny or merely temporary connections. So you have to learn to decipher the two. You got people come and go in your life. You got people come and go in the church. Are they here for partnership, destiny partnership? Or are they just here for temporary moments? Those that are here for temporary moments are going to be easy to pick out. Very easy, because they're not going to fit. As soon as they get there, they're going to do things differently. Well, the church I came from, we used to do it this way. We won't take your tail back. Take your tail back to where you come from then. What you over here for? You got what I'm saying? It's like somebody coming into your house for Christmas and y'all been having Christmas dinners a certain way. And a new in-law don't come in and say, well, we used to do it this way. Well, I tell you what. Don't you take your tail back to your mom and daddy house where you come from. Don't come here trying to change nothing. They're not going to fit. You see, unless they begin to make decisions and choices that I'm going to make adjustments to connect to. Are you seeing this? Go with me to 1 Chronicles, back to the 12th chapter. Verse 1. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of war. Go to verse 8. And of the Gittites, they separated themselves unto David, into the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lion, were as swift as the roe upon the mountains. In other words, David had men that was ready to surround him and knew what they could do. And watch this, was ready to submit to him. And watch this. David was able to recognize it because you got to remember now, they shifting from Saul to David. Yes. They were shifting. They were navigating. There was some tricky waters. They were navigating how to shift from Saul to David. All right. Now this, you talk about life and death. The king who's out of the will of God finds out that you're trying to shift to somebody who's in the will of God, I'm killing you. So they had to make the shift, and they had to be confident in their shift. And watch this. Not only did they have to make the shift, but they had to be confident in their shift because this was a matter of life and death. Yes. Are you seeing this? This is key. Those who are added to us must be added to us by the Lord. Do you see that? Not because it's a good idea. Not because it's convenient. Not because it seems like a good fit. It has to be the Lord. Number one, you must be joined to your apostolic leader, to them as a person and not for their giftings. You see that on page 82. Now, this is key. This is key now because we've been told We are normally attracted to a person because of their gifting. You see that? Normally we're attracted to people because of what they can do for us. But if you really want to receive the grace that is on a person's life, you must be genuinely concerned about the person. The transfer never took place for Elisha until he became connected to Elijah in a spirit-begotten relationship. Now, I'm going to prove to you in a, real quick how important that is. How important it is. Turn with me to, I think it's 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. I wouldn't plan on going there, but it'd be good for you to see this. That's not what I want. Let me look for it. It's in 1 Kings. Give me a minute. I want to look for it. First Kings 19. Go to First Kings 19. First Kings 19, verse 15. Now watch this. Now this is very important. It's very important. You must be genuinely concerned about the person, not just their giftings. Here's why. And the Lord said unto, talking about Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. All right, y'all see that, right? And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. All right. And Elisha, the son of Zaphat of Abimelech, shalt thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. All right. Then he go on to say, God going to tell him that, you know, those that escape Hazael, Jehu going to slay. Those that escape Jehu, Elisha is going to slay. All right. Verse 19. So he departed thence, found Elisha, the son of Zaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. All right. So we see this, right? We see that Elijah, God told him to do three things. Right? Go back in there, verse, what is it, 15? Verse 15, is it? Verse 15, he told him, anoint Hazael, right? Yes. Anoint Jehu and anoint Elisha. All right? You see those? Three. Elijah only did two of them. Well, Elijah only did one of them. Because in 2 Kings, the 9th chapter and the 8th chapter, you see where it was Elisha that anointed Hazael and anointed Jehu. And even more so than that, watch this. Elisha, and I think it was, he was anointing Hazael, I think it's the 2 Kings, the 9th chapter. When he went to anoint Hazael, he said, God showed me to anoint you king. Wait a minute. God didn't show it. Don't God ain't show. God showed Elijah. So watch this. The question is, what gave Elisha the right to say God showed me? Because he became one with his leader. See, it's important. Here's the thing. God is looking for us to be extensions of the apostolic leadership. We cannot truly be extensions of the apostolic leadership if we first don't have the apostolic leader at heart. God can't trust you. God say, how can you say you love me? It's 1 John 4. He said, how can you say you love me who you can't see and you can't love the person who you can see? Are you seeing this? It is by connecting personally that the transfer of legacy takes place. Gehazi loved the rewards and the results of the anointing rather than connecting accurately in the spirit of Elisha. And that's why he got the spirit of leprosy. Because he loved what the gift and the anointing could do for him and he didn't fall in love with Elisha. See, when you, once again, Apostle Thompson said something a couple of Sundays ago. He was ministering. He said, sonship equals ownership. So other words, whatever the father has, it belongs to the son. Yeah. Right? The Holy Spirit immediately spoke to me and said, sonship equals ownership with accountability. Other words, I may own everything that the father has, but if I don't want the father's accountability, then I ain't going to be walking in ownership. See, I can't take from the father and do what I want. You can't take from your apostolic leader. You can't take from his or her anointing and use it how you want. You must first understand why they were graced the way they were graced. Which means you're going to have to take a personal interest in their lives. So you can understand why God anointed them and graced them the way that he did. Because watch this. Here's one thing. I don't know if I said it in this class yet or not. But the anointing is for the earth only. The anointing never leaves the earth. Let's define what the anointing is. The anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Right? So the purpose of the anointing is to remove burden and to destroy yokes. There are no yokes in heaven. There are no burdens in heaven. So there's no need to be anointed in heaven. So therefore, the anointing, a person is anointed or empowered to remove burdens and destroy yokes for a certain reason. So watch this. If I don't understand the purpose for that person being anointed or graced the way they are, then I will never receive that anointing and that grace because I want to use the grace and anointing for what I want to use it for. Which means God can't talk to me once I get anointed and once I get graced. Because I'm going to want to do what I want to do with it. So therefore, sonship is ownership with accountability. Matter of fact, when, mind you now, Elijah told Elisha, what you want me to do for you? Don't have time to read. He said, what you want to do for you? What do you want me from me? What can I give to you? He said, Elisha told Elijah, now picture, this is very key. I want a double portion of your anointing. He said, well, you asked a hard thing of me. If you see me when I leave, then it'll be yours. All right. The Bible says that when Elijah was caught up by the chariot in the whirlwind, that Elisha rent his clothes and cried out for his master. Wait a minute. Let's figure out Elisha's purpose. Elisha asked for the anointing. And watch this. Elijah say, if you see me when I leave, you can have it. So my question is, why did Elisha rent his clothes and cried out for his master when he left? I hope you're seeing this. Because if Elisha's purpose was just to get the double portion, then he got it. Because he saw Elijah when he left. So why was he upset?
Why was he disappointed? He was connected to Elijah personally. Whatever Elijah was for, he was for. Whatever Elijah disliked, he disliked. Wherever Elijah went, he went. Whatever Elijah, made Elijah uncomfortable, he decided not to do it. It is making sense. To the point to where he fell in love with Elijah and not with what Elijah could do for him. Because normally you ought to be excited when you get what you ask for. But here it is. He said, if you see me when I leave, you can have it. Well, here it is, Elijah caught up, leaving. So the first thing that should have popped up in Elisha's mind, which is was not, the first thing should have popped up in his mind is, thank you, Jesus, I have the double portion. But that ain't what happened. Elisha fell to the ground, tore his clothes off, and cried out for his master. That's when God knew that he can trust Elisha with the double portion. Are you seeing this? You have to join yourself to the person, not to their gifting. Is that making sense? See, there must be a genuine love for our apostolic leaders. If you don't have a genuine love for your apostolic leader, then there's not much they're going to be able to speak into your life. Because love, watch this, when you genuinely love your apostolic leader, what you're saying is, I believe in who God called you to be, and I believe God has connected me to you, so therefore I won't get offended when you speak into my life about adjustments I have to make. Because I know you for me. Is this making sense? The transfer of grace is from a person, and only by accurately connecting with that person in covenant can the transfer be complete. Are you hearing this? I'm gonna read that one again. The transfer of grace is from a person. It's from a person. Do y'all see that? It's from a person and only be accurately connect and can be and only by accurately connecting with that person in covenant can the transfer be complete. Yes. Are you saying this? Yes. I want this to sink in, because watch this. And all this, what I love about the apostolic. Oh, what I love about that. Listen to me now. What I love about the apostolic and the government of God is that you have to decide this is what you want. None of this is by force. None of this is about arm twisting. None of this is about demands. This is nothing. None of this is about control. This is all about, I've chosen to do this. Amen. I've decided that this is my man or woman of God. This is my apostolic leader. I decided that I love them. Yes. I've decided that I want the best for them. Yes. Are you seeing this? Number two, the second principle for seeking out and discerning those who join us is that they came to seek for us. So here it is. And you can apply this to every area in your life. When in personal relationships, if somebody genuinely wants to be connected to you, they will look for you. Yes. You ain't got to go chasing them. They're going to look for you. David, he's the one with the prophetic word. He was the one with the anointing. He was the one with the assignment. He didn't need to go look for anybody. It was those that realized that Saul was not the man no more, and that they needed to find the person who God had then anointed. And when they found out that it was David, they began to seek him out. They began to look for him. Look in Luke, the 7th chapter. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with her hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now watch this. Now when the Pharisee, which had bitten him, saw it, spake within themselves, saying, this man, if were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answered, said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Then he went on, and there was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence, another 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both, telling me, therefore, which of them will love him the most. Listen to this now. Watch this. This woman, who was a sinner, saw something on Jesus. And she wanted to connect to Jesus properly because he had something that she needed. So what she did, she went to Jesus and submitted herself and connected properly. So whatever was on Jesus came off on her. At the time, she was the Bible vain place. She was a sinner. She needed salvation. So this woman, watch this. This woman here got put in the same class as Abraham, before Jesus died on the cross. Same class with Abraham. Why? Because she connected properly. Because same class with Moses, same class with Abraham, Joseph, all of them that were waiting on the promise. Because of what she did, Jesus let her know that she was connected properly and that she was going to receive as soon as he died. As soon as he went to get Abraham now, he covered her. Because she connected properly. Nicodemus, on the other hand, he got to try to figure it out. Nicodemus went, I got to be born again? I got to go in my mother's womb again? What all that mean? I mean, I don't understand all that. That woman said, I ain't got time to be trying to figure all this out. I just need to be connected properly. Here's my point. If God spoke to you about connecting to you, listen to me, internet, by connecting to your apostolic leader, all your questions will be answered. You don't have to make no questions up. People who constantly have questions about why we don't do this or why we can't do it this way, why they're looking for a reason not to join us. So it's fine to ask questions. Just go ahead and ask your questions elsewhere. Leave us alone. Is this making sense? The woman sought Jesus out in order to connect accurately. The woman with the issue of blood sought after him until the power of God flowed out from Jesus and healed her. They came to seek him out. The Father wants us to connect directly and participate with Jesus. We cannot just, I need you to underline this, page 85. And I'm doing a lot of read because the author's done an excellent job, and there's certain points that I have to expound on. I need you to underline this because we have been so long not understanding covenant that I can't just gloss over this. Page 85, paragraph 2. We cannot connect to the externals as covenant connection is of the heart. This is important. So many stay as long as we are productive, as the leader is productive and are blessing and benefit them. Your leader, your apostolic leader, should not be any less significant to you once they decide to pass the baton on. This is real. Because once again, it's about the heart. It's not about what they can do for us. It's about who God called them to be, how God is using it upon our lives and how we want to watch, how we want to reciprocate our love back to them. We can be trusted. We can be trusted to protect them. Noah could trust two of his sons, couldn't trust the one. Are you seeing this? Most churches have no regard for the fathers who have served them in the past. They just move on and move away as they do not have this depth of relationship with these fathers. Are you seeing this? Number three, very important. Got 5 minutes?
Nine.
All right. Number three, the third principle of those who connect and join our lines is they that verbalize and openly declare their commitment and loyalty. Uh-oh. That means all the secret disciples got to go. All those that will secretly join themselves to our apostolic leaders without verbally committing, they're not going to receive. It's impossible for them to receive the same level of grace that you receive. Nobody in this world, nobody else can walk around and claim me as their husband. There was a ceremony that took place where my wife Chantel verbally committed to me. I verbally committed to her. So can't nobody walk around and say Chantel their wife? Not in their right mind. Not they don't want nothing done to them. Why? Because there was a verbal commitment. So now, by our verbal commitment, which was, watch this, was a signification to everybody listening that this is the covenant that we're joined ourselves to. So you can miss me with all other foolishness. So when you verbally commit to your apostolic leader, that let everybody know, family and all, leave me alone. Don't talk to me about this, what I'm doing. Don't talk to me about this person. I ain't trying to hear. Because they already know. Because I voiced it. I said it out loud. Satan knows. God knows. All the holy angels know. All the demons know. All my family know. Everybody around me knows what I stand for. Paul encouraged Timothy not to feel ashamed of laboring with him for the furtherance of the gospel. Go to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul talking to Timothy said, Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. You have to be willing to verbally commit, verbally say, verbalize your covenant and your commitment. Those guys that left Saul, when they found David, they verbally told David and verbally let everybody know, so nobody don't get it confused. I am for David. I'm no longer with Saul. They verbally said it so that everybody knew where they stood. You must be strong in your convictions. When you say something, you have to be strong in your convictions about what you commit to. Now, here's the funny part, and here's the thing that why most people won't verbally commit. Soon as you verbally commit, you're going to be put in the crosshairs. Soon as you verbally commit, you're going to be the same enemies that your apostolic leader has. They're going to be your enemies. The same demons that have been assigned to your apostolic leader now will be assigned to you. But that's okay. Because watch this. My apostolic leader's grace has been protecting him and her from those demons having any effect. So the same grace is on them. It's on me. Matter of fact, sometimes God will cause you to get connected to an apostolic leader with a certain grace because you've been having demons that you can't deal with on your own. Certain issues you've been having that you can't deal with on your own. Certain problems you've been having that you've been having time to deal with on your own. He tell you, hey, I need you to get with this person. Get connected. Hear what they're saying. For the purpose of that, the grace that is on them can come off on you, and therefore your issues are resolved. Those who are prepared to verbalize their commitment and confess their apostolic leader before men have decided to take the relationship to another level. I always, this is what I tell these young men, young ladies, listen. Commitment always have to precede intimacy. Listen to what I just said, because we don't understand that in this society. Commitment has to precede intimacy. I'm not letting you into my secrets until I'm sure that I can trust you. Till I'm sure that you won't take my secrets and use them against me. See, this is important. I believe in testing commitment. Oh yeah. I believe in testing commitment. You talking to all this game? Okay, do this for me then. We're going to find how committed you are. I believe every apostolic leader ought to test commitment every now and then. You seeing this? There is no secret. God has never been private in his commitments. He's never been quiet about his covenant. God always, every covenant that God has cut with man has always been in the open. Jesus Christ in Philippians, he said he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Other words, God didn't send Jesus and hung him on a cross behind the bushes, behind old some mountains. They hung him on top of the mountain. Everybody can see. God was saying, I'm showing the whole world that I'm willing to send my only son to die on the cross for your sins. He did that in the open. It wasn't in the holiest of holies. Matter of fact, the Bible says the curtain in the holiest of holies rent in two. Meaning now God was able to come on the whole face of the earth. Just wasn't in a, God ain't do no backroom deals. God said, we're going to do this in the open. Every covenant that God, every promise that God has promised you, he promised to do it where everybody can see. So now for me, I love it when somebody say, I can't do something. I love it when somebody comes and say, you're not going to do this. So now God got to put that covenant he cut with me on Front Street. Because I got somebody saying what he's not going to do for me. Because God don't do nothing behind closed doors. That's not the kind of God we serve. There's no secret when God makes a covenant. No secret. So if God doesn't make secrets with his covenant, then we should be the same way. We should, everybody around us should know where we stand. It should be no guessing. It should be no, that's why for me, people ask me, am I a Democrat or Republican? That's not really your business. I'm not about to sacrifice my kingdom stance for political parties. I don't get in political arguments with people. It doesn't make sense. Because how I have just forfeited my, watch this, I've just forfeited when I stand with anybody besides the kingdom, I've just put them over the kingdom. So if I go around hollering about I'm a Republican, or I go around hollering about I'm a Democrat, and now it's time for me, what if God want to use me to witness to a Republican and I'm a Democrat? Well, they're going to have their ears closed to me already because we politically are not on the same page. So I don't go around putting no political party over my kingdom affiliation, because I don't know what God want to do. I don't know what God want to say. So I don't get hung up in all this political stuff. And no, my allegiance is to God and him alone. I'm pretty much like the angel told Joshua in the sixth chapter of Joshua. In the fifth, actually the fifth chapter, Joshua will pull out his sword and say, who you with? You with us or with the, are you with us or you with them? The angel said, I ain't with neither one of y'all. I'm with the Lord of hosts. Now the question is, who you with? Amen. Are you saying this? So there must be a verbal commitment. Watch this. First three again. They're joined. You must be joined to a person, not just to their gifting. You must seek them out. They shouldn't have to come looking for you. And number three, and we'll continue this next week. They verbalize their commitment and their loyalty. Y'all have a good night.